If I do, I can just have a conversation with you guys. I'll be fine. So, please turn your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua 7. And yes, I'm preaching out of the Old Testament. Okay, Joshua 7, 22 to 26. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hidden in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all the Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned him with them with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Let's pray. So my Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach forth your word, and I pray that you'll give me the right words to say and help me not be nervous. I mean, I can't understand how Pastor Long does it, but I pray that everybody will be able to understand what I have to say today, and that we'll have a good time hearing from your word. Here I pray. Amen. So I've had this privilege last year to go to CIT. For those of you who don't know, it's camper and training. And we usually just go 1 week to the Wilds, which is the camp we go to down in North Carolina. And it's a great week. We have fun. We learn lots of things from the Word. We have great preachers. We have great cabin mates. We have, it's a lot of fun. But for CIT, we go for 2 weeks, and Ryder and Alan got to participate with that, and that was like the best thing in the world. For CIT, what we do, we go for the first week, and while we're there, we don't do our regular week of camp. First of all, we get together, and we get to meet everybody else who's there for CIT, and we're all there, we're getting to know each other. We're on different teams, but that doesn't matter. I mean, we're kind of competitive on court, on like in the games and stuff like that, but not anywhere else. But at the beginning of the week, the preacher's there, who is Willie, and then there's Brian, what was his last name? Peterson? Yeah. They really challenged us at the beginning of the week to get right with the Lord, to confess your sins, not to hide anything. And that's really what Achan was doing here. He was hiding from God. And there's really no way you can hide from God. There's nowhere. He's the creator of all things. In Genesis 3, I believe, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, and that didn't work out for them. God ended up finding them. Well, he already knew where they were. But they ended up trying to play the blame game on each other, and that didn't work out. And, well, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and to this day, we've been cursed with sin. Go back to Joshua 6, 17. And the city shall be cursed. This is after they destroyed Jericho, and they had a great victory there. The city shall be cursed, and even it, and all therein to the Lord. Like Rahab, the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from their cursed things, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of their cursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they should come into the treasury of the Lord. I can't speak today. Anyway, the meaning here of being accursed, it was dedicated to the Lord. All the things in that city were for the Lord and for the Lord only. We were not, the children of Israel were not supposed to take any of it lest they curse this Israel. And if we go down to chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took over the cursed things, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sibraim. Okay. And smote them in the going down, for the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. So here, Achan took what belonged to God and directly disobeyed God's command because of his selfish ambition, because he wanted what he wanted. He didn't want what God wanted. He coveted what was not his, and it hurt God and it hurt others. It angered God so much that when the children of Israel wanted to fight to take back the land of Canaan, he ended up having the children of Ai beat them and hurt all the people of Israel because of what one person did, of what one person sinned, and that hurt so many other people. We tend to think that God is on our side, but in reality, God is on the side on his own side, and we choose if we're going to be on his side. And, well, Achan didn't choose that. So if we go back to Joshua 16, we'll see what happened when after they had the battle against Ai. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah and took the families of Zadarites, and brought the family of Zadarites man by man, and Zabadi was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerai, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent. And then Joshua goes and uncovers those items, and then stows Achan. But see, Achan tried to cover his sin by hiding them under the tent, and we tend to do that too. We tend to, I sinned, but I'm going to cover it. Nobody saw it. I'm sure nobody saw it. I'll be fine. It's just going to sweep it under the rug. Nobody will know about it. But you got to see, you can't fool God. We commit sins every day that no one sees, and we thought we got away with it, but God always sees it, guys. God always sees it, and there's no way around that. Covering your sin is not confessing your sin, and that's what we need to do. If you are a Christian, you need to confess your sin no matter what. It's against God's character when we sin. It's against the goodness of God. God sent his son to die for us, for our sins on the cross. The very moment we sin is an act of defiance toward God. We are telling him we do not trust his guidance for our lives. Without him, we are nothing, though. So, God is everything for us and everything to us. And if we sin, we're rejecting for what he did on the cross for us. And it just hurts him so much. He turns his back. No, he doesn't really turn a back on us. We push away from God and we think we can do it our own strength, but we really can't. And also, when we sin, it's a direct act against the command of God. For in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, here's one of the commands of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Do we really do that? Do we always do that? I'm talking to everybody, not just the teens. I mean, granted, we have parents here. All of us have parents. We've had parents one point or another. But we never always obeyed them. I don't obey my parents all the time. I should. I know that, and I admit it. God doesn't want us to sin. That's why we have his word, to learn by it. And that's the only reason we have the word, is to obey God, see what he has in store for us, and to keep from, what's the word I'm looking for? To keep from disappointing him, I guess, is a good word. And when we sin, it's against the omnipotence of God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-seeing. We can't hide from God. Turn to Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts so far off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. What David is saying here, God knows everything. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. That is crazy. He knows what you're going to think 2 minutes from now, 2 years from now, 2 decades from now. Yeah, 2 decades from now. Anyway, it's crazy to think that. God is that powerful to know if we're going to sin, when we're going to sin, if what we're going to say, when we're going to say it. It's crazy. Turn to Hebrews 4. Sorry, I just went off there. It's awesome. Verse 13. Here we'll go to verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. That's pretty blank and blunt and clear. God sees everything and there's nothing we can do about it. So next time you sin, think about that before you decide to sin, before the thought crosses your mind to sin. The next thing is, we sin against the timing of God. As we sin, we actively are telling God that we think we know what's best and his timing just doesn't work. That's pride. We need to trust God's timing no matter what happens. Even when God says not to do something, or when he says no, not yes, we always want the yes for some things. We should think it's in God's timing, not ours, and God knows what's best for us. I tend to take matters in my own hands, and especially for school, I don't really trust him with tests and studying, things like that. Those are kind of minor things, but we should trust him. And I don't always do that. Well, that's kind of hitting home. Anyway, next thing we should do is confess and forsake those sins. When we sin, we break fellowship with God. The only way we can come back into fellowship with God is to repent of the sin that you've done and ask God to forgive you. As David wrote in Psalms 32:5, I'm going to just look that up. You guys don't have to turn there. And yes, I did not bookmark these. I have to turn to them. Just like you guys. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I say, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So David here, he sinned. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't read before that. I should have. I'm not exactly sure which sin it was, but he was repentive and God forgave him. That's what we should do. There's nothing stopping us from repenting of a sin that we've committed to somebody or to God and getting back in fellowship with God. Nothing should prevent us from doing that. In Psalms 51, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. For, against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Thank God he is merciful and long-suffering, or we would have had all been dead a long time ago. Here David is again asking for forgiveness for a sin that he committed. He wants God to cleanse his heart and to be pure and to come back into fellowship with God. And that should be our only motive. Not our only motive, but one of our biggest motives for confessing a sin. So in conclusion, we can't fool God. There's nothing that's ever gonna keep God from seeing a sin that you ever committed. He's all-knowing and all-powerful, but above all, he is merciful. Keep that in mind.